الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد، الحديث 18 من أحاديث 40 النووية عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. رواه الترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن. وفي بعض النسخ: حديث حسن صحيح. قال العلامة الفوزان حفظه الله: الفرق بين الحديث الصحيح والحديث الحسن أن الصحيح أقوى من الحسن، فالصحيح هو ما رواه عدل تام الضبط من بداية السند إلى نهايته مع السلامة من الشذوذ والعلل، والحسن هو ما رواه عدل خفيف الضبط فيختلف من جهة الضبط فقط، وإلا فالحسن من قسم الصحيح، إلا أنه أقل درجة من الصحيح بما فيه من خفة ضبط بعض رواته. وقوله حسن صحيح يعني إنه يرويه من طريقين: طريق صحيح وطريق حسن. هذا أقرب ما قيل في شرح هذه الكلمة. وهذا الحديث فيه ثلاث كلمات، كل كلمة وصية مستقلة، وهو منهج للمسلم يسير عليه في حياته وتعامله مع الله وتعامله مع نفسه وتعامله مع الناس. أولا، في تعامله مع الله يجب على المسلم أن يتقي الله بطاعته وترك معصيته، فالتقوى هي فعل ما أمر الله به وترك ما نهى الله عنه، لأن هذا يقيه من عذاب الله وغضبه. وتقوى الله كلمة جامعة تجمع كل خصال الخير، وهي وصية الله لجميع خلقه. قال تعالى: ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله، فهي كلمة جامعة عظيمة. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت. فيجب على المسلم أن يتقي الله في أي مكان، حينما يظهر مع الناس وحينما يكون وحده لا يتغير تعامله مع الله. أما إذا كان مع الناس أظهر التقوى والتنسك، وإذا اختفى عن الناس بارز الله بالمعاصي والمخالفات، فهذا منافق. وقوله حيثما كنت يدل على أن الإنسان يجب عليه أن ينظر إلى الناس ولا يخشى الناس، وإنما يخشى الله سبحانه وتعالى، سواء كان مع الناس أو كان خاليا بنفسه، لأن الله يعلم حاله حتى لو توارى عن الناس، فإن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء. قال تعالى: إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. وقال سبحانه: يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله. أما الناس فهم لا يعلمون عن باطنك ولو كنت جالسا بينهم، ومن باب أولى ألا يعلموا عنك شيئا إذا اختفيت عنهم، لكن الله تعالى يعلم. ولهذا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. ثم إن بعض الناس إذا كان في بلاد المسلمين أظهر الإسلام، فإذا ذهب إلى بلاد الكفر تنكر ووافق الكفار على ما هم عليه، فيتلون كما تتلون الحرباء، وهذا أمر لا يجوز. والواجب على المسلم أن يخاف الله ويراقبه سبحانه وتعالى في أي مكان وفي أي بلد. ثانيا، بينه وبين نفسه. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. فإذا صدرت من العبد سيئة يجب عليه أن يتوب إلى الله عز وجل ويتبعها بحسنات، فإن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات، كما قال تعالى: وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. قوله تمحها أي تزيلها وتكفرها، هذا من فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا من جملة الأمور التي يكفر الله بها الذنوب. كذلك من حافظ على الفرائض فإن الله يكفر عنه ذنوب الصغائر. فلا تقنط من رحمة الله، بل بادر إلى التوبة إلى الله عز وجل. قال تعالى: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. فالتوبة تجب ما قبلها، بل المشرك والكافر إذا تاب تاب الله عليه. قال تعالى: قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. فكيف بالذنب الذي هو دون الكفر والشرك؟ فلا تتعاظم الذنوب وتيأس من رحمة الله وتيأس من التوبة. تب إلى الله عز وجل، ولا يكفي التوبة باللسان، بل أتبع توبتك بعمل الصالحات. قال تعالى: إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. فتعامل مع نفسك بهذا المقياس، وأكثر من الحسنات، وتب عن السيئات، والله جل وعلا يعفو ويغفر إذا فعلت أسباب المغفرة. ثالثا: بينك وبين الناس. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أي تعامل معهم بالمعاملة الطيبة وبالخلق الحسن وبالكلام الطيب وبالبشاشة، فإن ذلك مما يزرع المودة في القلوب ويؤلف بين الناس. والخلق الحسن صفة حميدة تكون في الإنسان، يمنحها الله لمن يشاء من عباده، والإنسان يتخلق بالأخلاق الحسنة. والله جل وعلا قال في نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. شهد الله له بالخلق العظيم، ولهذا تحول أعداؤه إلى أصدقاء، وصاروا من خواص أصحابه بسبب خلقه صلى الله عليه وسلم، وصاروا يدافعون وينافحون ويجاهدون معه صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهم بالأمس كانوا من ألد الأعداء، لكن بتعامله وخلقه صلى الله عليه وسلم مع الناس استجلبهم إلى الإسلام. وهكذا يكون الذي يدعو إلى الله بالخصوص يكون ذا خلق حسن، فيتعامل مع الناس بالحسنى واللطافة واللين حتى يستجلبهم إلى فعل الخير وإلى التوبة إلى الله وإلى قبول الدعوة. فهذه الكلمات العظيمة منهج يسير عليه المسلم، وهو من جوامع الكلم التي أوتيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يجمع فيها بين خيري الدنيا والآخرة.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. هذا الدرس المبارك استفدنا منه جميعا، لأن نصوص الكتاب والسنة إذا تولى تفسيرها العالم الذي على منهج السلف تتضح وضوحا، يصل إلى القلوب. وهذا الشرح المفصل لثلاث جمل كما سمعنا: الجملة الأولى فيها الوصية بتقوى الله تبارك وتعالى، وكم من آية كريمة في القرآن العظيم جاء فيها الوصية بالتقوى التي تتجلى في امتثال أوامر الله فاجتناب نواهيه علما وعملا. على سبيل الدوام والاحتساب والرجاء فيما يترتب عليها من الأجر العظيم وحسن الجزاء عند الله تبارك وتعالى. قال الله سبحانه: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. الآيات أي اتقوا عذابه وسخطه والتمسوا رضاه بالأقوال الظاهرة والباطنة وبالأفعال الحسنة وباجتناب ما نهى الله تبارك وتعالى عنه. وقال سبحانه: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. وقال الله لنبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا أيها النبي اتق الله ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين. ووصى الأمة كلها في هذا القرآن: واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. الحاصل أن الوصية بهذا العمل الجليل الذي هو تقوى الله ظاهرا وباطنا قولا وفعلا في كثير في القرآن وفي السنة وفي هذا الحديث الذي معنا وصية عامة بتقوى الله كما سمعنا في الشرح: اتق الله حيثما كنت، في خلوة أو في ملأ، في ليل أو نهار، في سفر أو إقامة، وعلى كل حال من الأحوال. ومن يوصي بتقوى الله صادقا مخلصا فقد تأسى بالنبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام، بل وتأسى بربه تبارك وتعالى الذي وصى بالتقوى في غير موضع من كتابه، وأخبرنا بأن التقوى وصيته سبحانه للمتقدمين والمتأخرين، لأن الجميع مكلفون بفعل ما أمر الله وترك ما نهى عنه. والجملة الثانية: وأتبع السيئة الحسنة. ابن آدم من طبيعته الخطأ، الوقوع في الخطأ، سواء الخطأ المتعمد أو الخطأ بدون اختيار أو بدون علم. وعلى كل حال، من وقع في خطأ كبير أو صغير، ظاهر أو باطن، قول أو فعل، فلا ييأس مهما عظم الذنب، ولا يقنط من رحمة الله، ولا ييأس من روح الله، بل يبادر إلى التوبة الصادقة المخلصة. والله تبارك وتعالى يفرح بتوبة عبده إذا تاب من الذنب، كما في الحديث الثابت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لله أفرح بتوبة عبده من أحدكم براحلته ضلت عليها طعامه وشرابه الحديث. وقد قال الله تعالى يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. وكلما وقع الإنسان في ذنب فإنه يجب أن يبادر إلى التوبة قبل أن تقبض روحه وهو متلبس بذلكم الذنب فتسوء الخاتمة والعياذ بالله. فلا يجوز للإنسان أن يتعمد الخطأ بحجة إنه سيتوب، بل يأذن على نفسه أنه لن يقترف الخطأ، فإذا اقترفه رجع إلى الله تبارك وتعالى تائبا مستغفرا نادما. والله عز وجل وعده أن يتوب عليه. وبين أن الحسنة يمحو الله بها السيئة، فيبادر الإنسان إلى الحسنة القولية أو الفعلية، حسنة إلى النفس أو إلى الغير، كل ذلك يؤجر عليه الإنسان. والجملة الثالثة فيها الإرشاد العظيم والتوجيه السديد للأمة أن يتخلقوا بالأخلاق الطيبة المباركة التي وصى الله عز وجل بها نبيه العظيم، ووصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته، وشهد الله عز وجل لنبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام بالخلق العظيم. وما ذلك إلا لأنه جليل القدر، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. ولما كانت السنة متفقة مع القرآن جاء هذا الحديث وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، فاتفقت الوصية من القرآن الكريم ومن السنة النبوية على وجوب التخلق بالأخلاق العظيمة فيما يتعلق بمعاملة الإنسان لنفسه ومعاملة الإنسان لغيره ومعاملة الإنسان مع ربه تبارك وتعالى. والتعامل مع الله، حسن التعامل مع الله أساس الخير والصلاح وأساس تزكية النفوس. فإذا أحسن العبد التعامل مع ربه بأداء فرائضه واجتناب المحارم والرغبة فيما رغب الله فيه من صالح العمل ووعد عليه حسن الجزاء، والرهبة مما خوف الله عز وجل وخوف رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام منه، يترتب عليه الأمن في الدنيا والبرزخ والآخرة. فكلما بذل الإنسان جهوده فيما يتعلق بحقوق الله وفيما يتعلق بحقوق النفس وفيما يتعلق بحقوق الغير فإنه يكتمل أمره ويعظم أجره وجزاؤه عند الله تبارك وتعالى، ويكون بذلك وليا من أولياء الله.
سؤالا
أحسن الله إليكم. يقول امرأة اعتنقت الإسلام منذ عدة سنوات ولله الحمد، تقول لكن والديها لم يعجبهما ذلك، فإنهما لا يسمحان لها بالصلاة ويسببان لها الكثير من المشاكل، يتهجمان عليها بالكلام ويتسببان لها بالكثير من الألم والحزن. تقول حاول أن أحافظ على الروابط الأسرية قدر الإمكان، عندما يحين موعد الصلاة أحاول أن أغادر إلى غرفة أخرى حتى أتمكن من أداء الصلاة في وقتها، لكنهما لا يسمحان لي بذلك ويجبراني على البقاء معهما، لذا أضطر في بعض الأحيان للذهاب إلى الحمام للصلاة فيه خوفا من أن يفوتني وقتها. أنا أعلم أن ذلك حرام، ولكن المكان الوحيد الذي لا يستطيعان أن يرياني فيه وأنا أؤدي صلاتي، لأنهما إن وجداني أصلي أخاف أن يضرباني أو يسيئاني إلي، فماذا أفعل وما هي نصيحتكم؟
من شروط الصلاة، من شروط قبول الصلاة طهارة البدن والثوب والبقعة، والغالب على محل قضاء الحاجات أنه نجس. فعلى هذه المرأة أن تصبر وتحتسب ولو نالها شيء من الأذى وتصلي، ولن يضيئها الله، لكن عليها أن تعتصم بالصبر رجاء رحمة الله وخشية عقوبته، ولا غرابة أن يؤذي الكافر المسلم سواء قريب أو بعيد، فعليها أن تتحين الفرص ولو صلت في آخر الوقت. والمهم أنها لا تفوت صلاتها حتى يخرج الوقت، ولا تصلي في محل قضاء الحاجات، لأنه الغالب عليه النجاسة، وإذا لحقها أذى أن تصبر وتثق في أن الله تبارك وتعالى معها.
أحسن الله إليكم. من تونس يقول شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم، هل يمكن للنساء أن يقمن الصلاة في البيت جماعة، يعني مثلا البنت وأمها، وما حكمها إذا داومت على الصلاة جماعة؟
صلاة الجماعة لها فضلها في شريعة الإسلام من الرجال ومن النساء، وفعلها من النساء في البيوت مشروع وفيه أجر عظيم وفيه خير كثير، فالمداومة عليه مداومة على كسب الأجر.
هذا، وصلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، سو حديث نمبر 18، حديث نمبر 18 from the حديث النووية. حديث نمبر 18 from the حديث النووية 40 نووية. On the authority of Abu Dharr, Jundub ibn Junadah, and Abu Abi Abdul Rahman, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with them. on the authority of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, fear Allah wherever you are, and follow the evil deed with a good deed, you wipe it, and deal with the people in a beautiful way. Naam, or with beautiful manners. Narrated by Tirmidhi, and he said, it is hadith which is sound, hadith Hassan, and in some versions or some copies, it said hadith Hassan Sahih, hadith sound and authentic. Naam, so the Shaykh said, when you read the explanation of Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah first, and he said the difference between hadith which is sahih and the hadith which is hasan, hadith which is authentic, hadith which is sound, is that the authentic hadith is stronger than the sound hadith. The authentic hadith is stronger than the sound hadith. So the authentic hadith, hadith is the hadith which has been narrated by a person who is righteous, who is proficient, yeah, his proficiency is complete, from the beginning of the line of narration until the end. So every person is with this description, and it is free from any deficiency or any problems or faults in the hadith. And the hadith which is Hassan sound, this is the hadith which has been narrated by a person who is righteous. His proficiency is less than the one in the previous sahih. And the Shaykh says, so the difference is in the area of the proficiency and how proficient was the narrator. So however, the Shaykh said, the Hassan, it is from the categories or it is from the types of authentic, it is from the types of Sahih, except that it is one level lower than Sahih. It is one level lower than the Hadith which is authentic. And this is due to the weakness or maybe the proficiency of the narrators in the hadith. Yes, it is less, the person is less proficient than the narrators of the hadith which is authentic. So the statement of Imam Tirmidhi, where he said this hadith is Hassan Sahih, he mentioned that this hadith is sound, authentic. The Shaykh said, meaning that this hadith is narrated from two different lines of narration. One is authentic and the other one is sound. This hadith has been narrated from two different lines of narration. One is sound and one is authentic. And this is correct explanation in regards to the terminology of Imam Tirmidhi, where he said Hassan Sahih. So the Shaykh continues and he says, in this hadith are three statements. In this hadith are three statements. Each statement is a separate advice in itself. Yes, each statement is a separate advice in itself. And it is a methodology for the Muslim that he should implement and act upon in his life and in his dealing with Allah. And in his dealing with himself and also in dealing with the people. Yeah? Firstly, dealing with Allah. Firstly, dealing with Allah. It is upon the Muslim to fear Allah as much as you could with worshipping Him. Yes, it's upon the Muslim to fear Allah upon worshipping Him and to abandon disobeying Him. So taqwa here, فالتقوى, the Shaykh said, هي فعل ما أمر الله به. It is to do with Allah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, and to abandon that which He had prohibited. So taqwa is to do with that which Allah had commanded and to abandon that which Allah had prohibited. Because this saves him from the punishment of Allah and from his wrath. This saves him from the wrath and the punishment of Allah. And the piety or the fear of Allah, it is a comprehensive word which gathers or which includes all the attributes or all the qualities which are good. And it is an advice from Allah for all of his creation. This taqwa, this piety, is an advice from Allah to all of his creation. He Almighty said, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. And we have advised those who were given the book before you and you as well to fear Allah. To fear Allah. Surah An-Nisa, verse 131. فَهِيَ كِلْمَةٌ جَامِعَةٌ عَظِيمٌ. So the Shaykh said, this is a comprehensive statement. This is a comprehensive statement. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. And now the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, where he said, fear Allah wherever you are. Fear Allah wherever you are. The Shaykh said, so it is upon the Muslim to fear Allah in every place he is. Yes, it is upon the Muslim to fear Allah everywhere he is. In the times where he's with the people, in the times where he's with the people, or in the times where he's alone, he does not change the way he deals with Allah. Yes, whether he's with the people or he is alone, away from the people, he does not change the way that he deals with Allah. As for if the person, when he's with the people, he shows piety and he shows that he's a worshipper, and when he goes away from the people, he dares to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to oppose Allah, then this person is a hypocrite. This person is a hypocrite. And the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Haythuma kunt," wherever you are, wherever you are. The Sheikh said this serves as proof that the person, or it is upon the person to not pay attention to the people, whether the people are there or not. Yes, and he should not fear the people; rather, he should fear Allah Almighty. Whether he is with the people or he's alone, yes, he should fear Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his condition and he knows his state. Even if he's secluded from the people, he's away from the people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is hidden from him. قال تعالى إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Allah said, indeed, nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens. Al-Imran verse 5. وقال يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that they hide from the people, or they hide from, they hide from the people to see their sins, and they do not hide from Allah, or they're not ashamed of Allah. Surah An-Nisa 108. He said, as for the people, the Sheikh continues, he says, as for the people, then they do not know that which you hide. As for the people, they do not know that which you hide or that which you keep away from them, even if you were sitting with them. Even if you're sitting amongst them, then they would not know what you're hiding. Yes? And the Sheikh said, and also, they would not know anything if you intentionally hide it from them as well. Likewise, if you intentionally hide something from them, they would not know it if you're away from them. Like in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. And for that reason, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Him. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Him. Though you do not see Him, He surely sees you. Then the Sheikh continues and says, also that there are some people who, when in their country, when they are in the countries of the Muslims, they show Islam. They make apparent that they're following Islam and so on. As soon as they go to the places of the countries of the non-Muslims or the countries of the disbelievers, he changes. He changes his colors. He puts on a new person, and he agrees with the disbelievers upon what they are upon. He agrees with the disbelievers on that which they are upon. So he changes color just like the insect changes color according to the place it is. And the Sheikh said this affair or this issue is impermissible. And that which is upon the Muslim is to fear Allah and to always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him in every place and in every country. In every place and in every country. Secondly, the Sheikh continues, he said, between him, the person should fear between him and himself, within himself. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَتْبِعْ سَيِّدَ الْحَسَنَ تَمْحَهَا. In regards or in relation to the person dealing with himself. Yes, the first one was dealing with Allah. And this one is in terms or in relation to the person dealing with himself. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and follow the evil deed with a good deed, and so you wipe it. So if a slave, from the slave of Allah, commits a sin, then it is upon him to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to follow that sin he committed with good deeds. It's upon him, if he commits a sin, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow that sin that he committed with good deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلُفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish the prayer to the two ends of the daytime and some parts of the night. Verily, the good deeds wipe or expiate the evil deeds. Na'am, Surah Hud 114. And also, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. The prayers, the five daily prayers, and the Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, and from Ramadan to Ramadan, they expiate that which is between them as long as major sins are stayed away from. as long as major sins are prevented. Again, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said the five daily prayers, the Jum'ah to the Jum'ah, Ramadan to the other Ramadan, expiate the sins that which is between them, as long as the major sins are stayed away from. So the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, where he said, تمحوها, يعني the good deed will expiate or will wipe out the evil deed. The Sheikh said, أي تزيلها وتكفرها, يعني it will completely remove it and it will completely expiate it. This is from the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the virtue and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from the commandments, or it is from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he expiates the sins of the people with. It is from the one of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he expiates the sins of the people with. Likewise, the one who preserves the daily prayers, the obligatory prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he expiates his minor sins. The one who preserves the daily prayers, the obligatory prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he expiates his minor sins. So do not despair from the mercy of Allah. So do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Rather, rush and hasten towards the repentance, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال تعالى قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O my slaves, those who transgressed over themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Surah Az-Zumar 53. So the Shaykh said, so the repentance wipes or expiates that which is before it. Repentance expiates that which preceded. Rather, even the mushrik, the one who associates with Allah, and even the kafir, the disbeliever, if he repents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him forgiveness. If the mushrik or the kafir repents, Allah will grant him repentance. قال تعالى قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to those who disbelieved that if they refrain, it would be forgiven for them that which had preceded. Yes, say to those who disbelieved, if they refrain, it will be forgiven for them that which had preceded from the actions. يعني. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 38. So the Shaykh continues, says, how about the sin which is less than kufr and shirk? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about those disbelievers or those polytheists when they repent. So the Shaykh said, how about the sin which is far less, or the sin that which is less than disbelief and shirk? So the person should not. So the Sheikh says, talking to the reader, I said, do not think that the sin is too big. Do not think that the sin is too big and it would not be forgiven. And do not despair from the mercy of Allah. And do not despair from asking for repentance. Rather, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the tawbah with the tongue, to repent to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala with your tongue, is not enough. Yes. It's not sufficient to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue. But rather, follow the sin that you have committed with good deeds. After repentance, follow them with good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمِلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 70, except he who repents and believed and he does righteous deeds, those Allah will replace or will exchange the evil deeds with good deeds. And indeed, Allah was all forgiven, all merciful. Verse number 70 in Surah Al-Furqan. So the Shaykh said, so deal with yourself with this way, in this manner. Deal with yourself in this manner. And increase from the good deeds and repent from all the evil deeds. And Allah Jalla wa Ala, he forgives and he pardons. Naam, if you fulfill the reasons or the causes of forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives and he pardons if you fulfill the causes for forgiveness. ثالثاً بينك وبين الناس. So the Shaykh said, thirdly, how you should deal with in relation to you and the people, how you should deal with the people, between you and the people. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, and deal with the people with the beautiful etiquette or beautiful manners. The Sheikh said, meaning that you deal with them with a good way. You deal with the people in a good way and with beautiful manners and with good speech and with a happy face. You deal with the people with a happy face, because verily those things, they cause love between the hearts. or they plant love between the hearts of the people, and they draws them closer to each other. And the Sheikh said, "Al-Khuluq al-Hasan," the beautiful etiquette or the beautiful manners, is a very good quality or very good attribute. Very good attribute that is in a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives to whomsoever He wishes from His slaves. And the person should implement those good attributes or good behavior or good manners. And Allah Jalla wa'ala, He says in regards or in relation to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you are upon a great character, or you have a great character. Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 4. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He testified for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the great character, with having great character. He testified for him that he has great character, and therefore for that reason, alhamdulillah, for that reason his enemies became his friends. The enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore became his friends due to his manners and his etiquettes. And they became his enemies. After became his enemies, they became from his close companions because of his manners, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they started defending the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They defend him and they fight with him, alongside him in jihad. While they were before, yesterday they were from the most severe of enemies, from the worst of enemies to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were before. However, with his dealing and with his beautiful manners, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called them to Islam. He pushed them, he dragged them to Islam because of his good manners and etiquettes. And likewise, the person who calls to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the one who calls to the way of Allah, should also be like this as well. He should have beautiful manners, and he should deal with the people with that which is good, and with leniency and gentleness. With leniency and gentleness. So that he can drag them and pull them to doing good deeds. So he can pull the people to doing good deeds, and also to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to accept this call, to accept this da'wah. So these great statements, these three great statements the Shaykh said, is a methodology that the person or the Muslim should take up or should walk upon. Naam? And it is from the Jawami' al-Kalim, from the most comprehensive speech, yes, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. The most comprehensive speech, which is a few in words but large in meaning. And this statement, the person who follows this, he will gather between the khair, the goodness of this life, and the hereafter. He will combine between the two, if he follows this, between the khair of this dunya and in the hereafter. Then our Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Hafidhullah, he gave his commentary on what we have read, and he said, "All praise due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon his Prophet Muhammad and those who and his companions and those who follow them." He said, "This blessed lesson, we have benefited from it all." So far we have benefited from it. And because the text which are found in a book and a sunnah, if a person who is upon the way of the Salaf, upon the way of the pious predecessors, explains those verses in the Quran and the sunnah, then they become very clear to you, and it reaches your heart. And this detailed explanation is an explanation to three statements. This explanation, what we heard, is an explanation to three statements. The first one of them is an advice to fear Allah, have piety of Allah. The first one is to advise to fear Allah. And how many verses in the Noble Quran this advice came with? How many verses you find in the Quran came with the same advice to fear Allah? Yes, the fear of Allah and the piety of Allah, which takes the results of it show in following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from that which He had prohibited. Yes? By action and by statement. Knowledge and actions. By knowledge and actions. And in a continuous manner. Ala sabil al-dawam, in a continuous manner. Not sometime. On continuous manner. And to seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, and also hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you upon this, and to get the good compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "O people, fear your Lord, the one who created you from a single soul." The one who created you from a single soul. and the sheikh said to the rest of the ayah. So this means, يعني fear Allah mean, meaning fear his punishment and fear his wrath and seek his pleasure with statement which are apparent and hidden, and also with good actions and good deeds, and to stay away from that which he had prohibited. And also he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ تَقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْئًا عَظِيمٌ. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O people, fear Allah. Indeed, the shaking of the hour is a great affair. O people, fear your Lord. Indeed, the shaking of the hour is a great affair. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his prophet in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. O prophet, fear Allah and do not show obedience, or do not obey the disbelievers and the polytheists. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sheikh says, he continues his, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he advised this nation, this ummah, in the Quran. And he said, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ. And fear the day where, or fear the day which, fear the day that you will return to, and every soul will be, يعني, a recompense for that which it did. Fear a day which you will, on which you will return to Allah, and every soul will be recompensed for that which it, يعني, achieved, or it did. So the Sheikh said, the outcome is that this advice, to do this great action, which is to fear Allah, this should be ظاهرا وباطنا, apparently and inwardly as well, يعني within you, by statement or by action. By statement or by action, and it is many, يعني, you find it in many places of the Quran and the Sunnah, this advice of fearing Allah. And in this hadith as well, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised us to fear Allah, as we heard in the explanation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ, fear Allah wherever you are. The Sheikh said, wherever you are, whether you're in seclusion or you're amongst the people, whether you're, it's daytime or nighttime, whether you are traveling or you are residing in a place, and upon every state you should fear Allah, upon every state. And the Sheikh said, the one who advises with the fear of Allah sincerely from his heart and truthfully, advising from his heart to fear Allah, he advised others, then this person, he took as an example the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example. Rather, he took as an example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself when he advised us to fear him. Yes, so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned to us in the Quran, so that the person, he takes Allah as an example, as his example, يعني, for advising with the fear of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us in many places of the Quran, and he said that the taqwa, or the piety here, or fear of Allah, was the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who preceded us, and to the latecomers as well, to those who came after, in the later parts, or in the later times. Because everyone is obliged to stick to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to stay away from that which he had prohibited. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَتْبِعْ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, and follow the evil deed, yes, follow the evil deed with a good deed, so you wipe it. So the Shaykh said, it is from the nature of the son of Adam that he makes mistake, and he falls into mistake, whether intentionally or whether upon knowledge or upon ignorance, alayhi salam. Yes, anyway, the Sheikh said, whosoever falls into any mistake, whether big mistake or minor mistake, whether inwardly or outwardly, then he should not despair from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, but rather he should rush and hasten towards repentance to Allah with a sincere repentance. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is glad, or he is happy with the repentance of his slave. As mentioned in the hadith, which is authentic, that indeed Allah is more happier for the repentance of his slave than the one who has his camel, يعني, while he's traveling, and everything that he owns is on top of the camel, and his food and his drink is on top of the camel. The Sheikh said, until the rest of the hadith. The hadith is when he loses the camel, yes, and then he despairs from finding it again, and then he rests, and when he wakes up, he sees the camel in front of him.
And from his joy, he says, يعني from his joy, he says, oh Allah, you are my slave and I'm your Lord. Out of his happiness. Yes, he made a mistake. Out of his happiness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happier for the repentance of a slave than this man when he found his camel. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ التَّوَابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who repent and those who purify themselves. Indeed, Allah loves those who repent and those who purify themselves. And every time the person falls into a mistake, then he has to rush and hasten towards repentance before his soul is taken out from him. Before his soul is taken out from him, and he ends up يعني with an evil ending. And his life is ended in an evil manner or an evil way. So it is not permissible to intend to fall into mistake. The Sheikh said, it is not permissible for the person to intend to fall into mistake. Yes, and having the intention, oh, I will repent after. So you cannot intend, I will sin and then I will repent after. This is not permissible. However, the person should be, he should be firm and say, I will not commit this sin. I will not make this mistake. And if he does, if he ends up doing it, then he repents. Yes? But he should say, I will not do it. So he should go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Returning to Allah in repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised that if the person seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will grant him a repentance. And he will grant him forgiveness. And the person should follow the evil deed with a good deed, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would wipe it or would expiate that sin. So the person should hasten to following the evil deed with a good one. Yes, whether by statement or action. He should follow the evil deed with a good deed, whether by statement or action. And this one, this hasana, this good deed, whether to himself or to the others, to the other people. This hasana that he follows the evil deed with is either to himself, yes, hasana for himself, or for the other people as well. It's a good deed to the other people as well. All of that the person will be rewarded for. All of that the person will be rewarded for. And the Sheikh said, the third statement or the third sentence, وَخَلَقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ, yeah, to deal with the people in a beautiful manner, the Sheikh said, this is a guidance. And this is an advice and a guidance, a great guidance to the Ummah, to this nation, so that they beautify themselves and they adorn themselves with the beautiful manners which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered His Prophet and Messenger with, and that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He advised His nation with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He testified, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified for His Prophet that He has a great character and He has great manners. And the Sheikh said, and this is only due to the high, how high is the status of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah, how virtuous the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim." Indeed, you are upon a great character. Indeed, you are upon a great character. And the Sheikh said, the Sunnah and the Quran are in agreement to encourage this. Encourage this beautiful manner. And therefore this hadith came because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلْقَ عَظِيمٍ. You indeed, you're upon a great character. So the sunnah came, this hadith came in agreement to the Quran, because the sunnah and the Quran are always in agreement. So this hadith said, وَخَلَقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلْقٍ حَسَنٍ, and deal with the people in a beautiful way, or with beautiful manners. So the advice which was from the Quran and the advice which was from the Sunnah all came in agreement that it is an obligation for the person to have good manners. It's an obligation upon the person to have these, to beautify himself or adorn himself with these great manners in regards or in relation to that which he deals with himself, he deals with the people, and how he deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best manner, this is the foundation for everything that is good and every righteousness and for the purification of one's self. Yes, so the dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way is the foundation for goodness and righteousness and purification of the person, yani of himself. So if the person perfects the dealing with his Lord by way of staying away from that which Allah prohibited and sticking to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he admonished the his slaves with, to fear that as well. All of this, if the person achieves this, this would necessitate security in this life, in the barzakh, the life of the grave, and in the hereafter. All of this would result in the person being granted security and well-being in this life, in the grave, and in the hereafter. So, as long as the person, he strives, and he tries his utmost, yani, into achieving this, and he into completing his affair, and yani, in perfecting his affair, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply the reward for him, and will recompense him yani, greatly, and with that he will be from the awliya of Allah. He will be from those yani, righteous people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani, is guardian over them. Or as you can say, the companions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who Allah is a guardian over them. The first question says, I reverted to Islam a few years ago. My parents despise it. They will not let me pray. They cause me grief and make me cry. They attack me verbally. When it is prayer time, I pray in the bathroom because I am scared that they will harm me. I know this is haram, but they will harm me if they see me. They will harm me if they see me praying. What can I do? The Sheikh said, in answer to this question, he said, it is from the conditions of the prayer to be accepted, the purification of the body, and the purification of the garment that the person wearing, and the purification of the place where you're praying, the buqa, the spot where you're praying. And the majority of the times, the places where the person relieves himself, or the bathrooms and so on, it is impure. The majority of the times. And upon this woman is to have patience. Upon this woman is to have patience, even if she faces yani, some difficulty and some harm. Yes, even if she faces some difficulty and some harm. And she should pray. She should pray and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not yani, let her go. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let her go. Lakin, upon her, however, is to cling to yani, patience, having patience. And yani, seek or hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to fear his punishment, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And the Shaykh said, it is not strange that the disbelievers, they would harm the Muslims. It is not something strange that the disbelievers will try to harm the Muslim. So what she should do is that yani, seek the best of opportunities, even if she prays at the end of the time, before the time of the prayer goes out, at the end of the time, even if she prays then. So she should seek the best opportunities. However, she should not yani, let the prayer go out of its time. She should still pray on time, and she should not pray in the bathroom. Yes? Because it is a place of impurity. So upon her is patience, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. The second question was regarding women praying yani, jama'ah at home with other women. In a continuous manner, all the time, women praying jama'ah at home together, yani a mother and her daughter, for example, always praying jama'ah together. Is this permissible? The Shaykh Hafidhullah, he mentioned that Salat al-Jama'ah has a virtue, and it is known. Salat al-Jama'ah has a virtue, and it is known in Islam. This is in regards or in relation to men and women. Yes, there's a virtue for men and for women. And if the woman establish the jama'ah at home between each other or together, then this is legislated. This is legislated, and it has or includes great reward. They achieve great reward, and a lot of goodness comes out from this if they continue upon that. A lot of good will come out from it, and a lot of ajr. Yes, so upon them is to continue then. Continue earning these good deeds, and continue earning this good reward. Or this, yani, this great reward. نعم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.